Let's all humble ourselves as we come for the throne of grace. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we are so thankful, Father, for each and every one here. We're thankful, Father, that you have given us the opportunity to answer the call and to come out of the world, Father, to worship you in spirit and truth. Father, I pray that the message that is given, that these words are yours, Father, not mine, and anything that is me just falls to the wayside, Father. Let your spirit flow through this room, Father, and uplift every single one here and those that are far off that are listening to these words, Father. And may your spirit be present always, Father. We thank you, Father. We love you so much. And in Yeshua, amen, hallelujah. All right, you may all be seated. Well, this is different. For some reason, I feel like I got like Secret Service going on in my ear here. Oh, all right. Thank you, Brother Javon. While I get set up here, welcome to day two. Feast of Tabernacles, we're in this beautiful building that we've been given, and right here where we're sitting and we're standing, I don't know if you guys can remember, but this used to be a giant hill. It was just a pile of dirt, and now we have transformed it into this building, and it's like a larger versions of our sukkah. We get to come together in one place. It's great, it's amazing what it turned out to be. So hallelujah. Excuse me. How many of you out there are fighting a war within yourself? You smile on the outside, but inside a storm rages. It's the war between flesh and spirit. Truth and deception, righteousness and sin. You lie awake at night, your mind spinning like the credits at the end of a movie, replaying what you can't change. You want peace, you know what it looks like, you just can't seem to grab it. My brothers and sisters, the battle isn't out there, it's eternal, it's internal. The battleground is your mind. The word says in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so you cannot do the things that you would do. Again and again in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not fight according to the flesh. For the weapons we fight with are not fleshly, but mighty in Elohim. For overthrowing strongholds, overthrowing reasonings, and every high matter that exalts itself against the knowledge of Elohim, taking captive every thought to make it obedient to the Messiah. Taking captive every thought and making it obedient to the Messiah. This is how we fight the battle for the mind. Discipline. It's not a one-time act. It's training. It's showing up again and again until your thoughts obey the word instead of your emotions. To become better at anything, whether it is strength, skill, or wisdom, you must practice diligently, intentionally, strategically. A disciplined mind will make you the master of your thoughts, and it speaks louder than doubt ever could. If your mind were a house, who would live there? Would you let a stranger walk through your front door without question? Of course not. Then why would you allow strange thoughts to enter your temple unchecked? Why let your past hurt you or haunt you? Why give fear permission to steal the hope that you have in the Messiah? Why let pain from years ago continue to rent space in your mind free, for free? Your mind is the battleground. You must conquer. Scripture commands us to take every thought captive. You are not broken. You were not born with pain, fear, or shame. Those things are learned. They were built through experience, but they do not define you. Your mind isn't broken. It's simply untrained. And here's an amazing little thing about your brain. It will believe whatever you tell it. It's teachable, programmable. Ever wonder why television shows are called programs? Because they're designed to do exactly that, to program. If you repeat something enough times, your mind will accept it as truth. That's why you must choose what you feed it. Because repetition becomes belief, and belief shapes the reality of your mind. An untrained mind will replay your past until you can't see the future. It builds storms that don't exist. It will turn your friends into enemies, your blessings into burdens, and your hope into fear. But a disciplined mind, a mind trained by the word of Elohim, it brings peace, clarity, and power. Scripture says that physical training has value. But spiritual and mental training has value for this life and the life to come. So train your mind, guard your thoughts, and let every thought bow in obedience to the Messiah. Your mind is sacred ground. Guard it, protect it, because your thoughts shape your attitude and your actions and your destiny. 1 Timothy 4:8. For physical training is of some value, but righteousness, spiritual training, is of value in everything and in every way, since it holds a promise for the present life and for the life to come. Hallelujah. You cannot conquer a battleground you refuse to enter. And the first step toward victory begins when you decide to face the war within. You must train your mind because no one else can fight this battle for you. At some point, you have to start marching around the base of the mountain and declare, enough is enough. Decide to break the cycle and trade chaos for clarity, distraction for discipline, and confusion for productivity. Your mind, it's one of the most complex and powerful parts of your being. It shapes your attitude, influences and your actions, and ultimately defines your character. When your thoughts are heavy, your body grows weary because your mental and physical states are deeply connected. They're the same. They're deeply connected. They're not separate. The physical will affect the mental, and the mental will attack the physical. Until you learn to master your mind and control your thoughts, your mind will control you. So ask yourself, when you're driving through life, who's really behind the wheel? Your discipline or your thoughts? So let's just review one of the many biblical cases of the disciplined mind. Daniel's compadres. That's a cool graphic. It's too big. I couldn't put this all on a slide. So if you guys will turn with me and read along as I'm going to read this chapter 1 through 25 in Daniel 3. So King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my Elohim or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. And then what Elohim will be made to rescue you from my hand?" Now, what they said next is very interesting. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the Elohim we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men were wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the fire so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, bound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of Elohim." In verse 16, we see that a disciplined mind yields the fruit of faith, obedience, hope, fortitude, and perseverance in the face of adversity. It was that very discipline that empowered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to stand firm, to defy King Nebuchadnezzar's command without fear of the fiery furnace. Their minds were already trained for battle long before those flames ever arose. Now look at Nebuchadnezzar's response. He reacted out of emotion and rage. His attitude shifted and his anger took control of his thinking. And that's what happens when emotion rules the mind. Clarity vanishes and destruction follows. We've all had this happen before at some point in time in our lives. I am not one to stand here and say that I am perfect by any means. If I did that, that would make me a liar. I have had to practice and check myself by disciplining my mind. But a disciplined mind stands unmoved, unshakable. Training your mind begins the moment you recognize who you truly are. You are the temple of the living Elohim. The spirit that created heaven and earth dwells inside of you. 1 Corinthians. Oh yeah, there's a little image of those guys in the fire. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the dwelling place of the set-apart spirit who is in you, which you have from Elohim, and you are not your own? Think about this, okay? Think about it. The temple had walls, gates, entrances, outer and inner courts. It had dining rooms and the most set-apart holy place. Every part, every place, every room had a purpose. Every gate had a guard. So I say to you, guard your gates. Watch the doors of your temple. Choose. You are not, I just want to say this first, you're not your worst thought. So choose clarity. Choose order. When you do, what remains within you will be unshakable. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not let outside influences dictate your actions. They stood tall in truth, clothed in righteousness, courage, and strength, and the fire that was meant to destroy them became their testimony. Once you realize that you are a child of the Most High in training to be royalty, you can begin to rebuild your temple brick by brick, thought by thought. You are in training to become a nation of kings and priests. So make your thoughts bow before you and do not bow before them. When you wake up in the morning, ask yourself, are you waking up with a grateful heart and a contrite spirit? Or are you allowing the media and the noise of the world and those around you to program your day? Do not let Hasatan steal the joy and peace that Yahweh has given you. The mind you discipline today will become the fortress that guards your destiny tomorrow. Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart, your mind, with all diligence, for out of it are the sources of life. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore, having girded up the loins of your mind, being sober, set your expectation perfectly upon the favor that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Yahshua Messiah. Philippians 4:8, for the rest, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is righteous, whatever is clean, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any uprightness, if there is any praise, think on these. Train your mind to think on these thoughts and not that of the world. You know, the first step is always the hardest. But hear this. The thoughts, fears and anxieties that you carry on, the ones that have been put inside of you that you've been lingering on for a long time, they do not define your destiny. And they do not have to control you. Those memories and emotions you keep replaying, reliving, they don't deserve your energy anymore. They've lived rent-free in your mind for too long. It's time, brethren, to cast them out. It's time to dig up the weeds that have taken root in your garden. Think about it. Does a house build itself? Does water shape itself without something to hold it? Does fire burn without wood? No. Every one of these requires some form of action. At the same time, is true for your mind. If you want peace, if you want transformation, you have to start training your mind now. Think of your mind as a field. Another example, and your thoughts as seeds, and what you plant will grow. If you sow worry, you'll reap unrest. If you sow truth, you'll reap peace. But here's something important. Not every thought planted in your mind came from you. Some were planted by others through words, opinions, experiences. They didn't belong to you in the first place. Maybe some post on Facebook. And not every piece of advice that you hear is good advice. You must weigh every word, every thought, everything that enters your mind by the word of Elohim. Why do so many people hold on to toxic feelings? You ever thought about that? Because familiar pain feels safer than unfamiliar peace. People cling to what they understand, even when it hurts, because it feels known. But freedom begins when you dare to step into what feels unfamiliar. So ask yourself, have you adopted somebody else's truth? Have you accepted every new teaching or opinion that comes your way without even testing it? Even Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, was tested by the Bereans. They didn't just accept his word at face value, they examined it for truth. Acts 17:11. Now the Berean Jews were more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Be like these Bereans, these noble Bereans, for their faithful character in examining even Paul, who was taught by the Messiah, judging the words that he said to see if they squared up rightly. Don't let your thoughts of the world dictate your truth. Anchor yourself in the word. Anchor it in the word. And remember, the first step may be the hardest, but it's also the one that breaks the ground for new growth. They took the things Paul was preaching and compared them to the scriptures. Anyone who comes to you speaking the truth, check it. Sometimes we've got to break a cycle. Exodus 20:5-6. You not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am a jealous El, visiting the crookedness of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing kindness to thousands to those who love me and guard my commands. I have often wondered, when Yahweh says he will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, you know, this isn't just punishment, but it's a cycle. A generational pattern that continues until someone finally answers the call. And how you respond to that call, that moment, when Yahweh stirs your heart, will shape your future. And the generations that come after you, think about that for a moment. It's not just what you do, But what you do will transcend generations past you. A ripple effect through time. It's like throwing a rock into a lake or a pond, and it makes that ripple all the way through the shore. Think about that as a timeline. At some point, you have to look at your life and evaluate the things that were put into you, that you were raised in, that you've grown up in, that you walked in, and say, enough is enough. I will not live out the lies I have inherited. I will not continue in the pain that was planted in me. I choose life. I choose Yahweh and his redemption through his son, our Messiah. And look closely. Look very closely in this very next verse. There's a promise embedded in this. To those who love me and keep my commandments, I will show mercy to thousands. What a powerful contrast. A cycle that of curses broken by a single act of obedience and love. Sorry. So how do you step into that mercy? By training the mind. By renewing it every single day. You hold fast to those promises of our Father. Promises fulfilled through our Master and Messiah. Let go of the past. Because in the kingdom, the former things will not even be remembered. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the order of things have passed away. The time is now, it's not tomorrow, not next week, now. Start walking in the Spirit with the mind of Messiah. It's time to clean and reorganize your spiritual house. To guard the gates, your eyes, your ears, your thoughts, because you alone control the storehouse of your mind. So be good steward of the ground you've been given. Tend your field, pull the weeds, and don't let the enemy sow seeds of destruction in the garden of your mind. This is why Scripture says to renew your mind daily. Let the word of Almighty Yahweh wash over you and flush out what doesn't belong, because a renewed mind produces a transformed life. And when your mind is set on him, no curse can continue. No fear can remain, and no chain can hold you. Romans 2:12. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what Elohim's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Ephesians 4:22 through 24 tells us that to put off with regarding of your former way, the old man being corrupted according to desires of deceit, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So that you put on the renewed man, which was created according to Elohim in righteousness and set apartness of the truth. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. This world will pass away one day, and the things in it along with it. Our goal should be the kingdom and what's up there, or what's coming to here. Because he's bringing those things here. For we have the mind of Messiah. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, but we have the mind of Messiah. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yahshua. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. This was the mind of the Messiah, and this is what you must have. This is what you must strive for. Ephesians 6:10 through 18. For the rest, my brothers, be strong in the Master and in the mightiness of his strength. Put on the complete armor of Elohim, for you have the power to stand against the schemes of the devil. Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against authorities, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual matters of wickedness in the heavenlies. Because of this, take up the complete armor of Elohim so that you have the power to withstand in the wicked day, and having done all, to stand. Stand then, having girded your waist with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having fitted your feet with the preparation of the good news of peace above all, having taken up the shield of belief with which you shall have the power to quench all the burning arrows of the wicked one. Take also the helmet of deliverance and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Elohim, praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching all the perverseness and supplication for all the set apart ones. First Thessalonians 5:8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. There's a passage I didn't put up here. I'm just going to summarize it in Isaiah 55, 7 through 9. You know, Yahweh's thoughts are higher than ours. And this is a reminder to us that we need to align our thoughts and our thinking with his. Because to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 8, 6. Colossians 3, 15 through 16. And let the peace of Elohim rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be filled with thanks, letting the word of Messiah dwell in you, richly teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing with pleasure in your hearts to the Master in psalms and songs of praise with spiritual songs. I'm about to wrap this up. Oh, one slide too far. The battlefield isn't out there. It's right here, within. Within here, it's within here. Every thought, let me back up, your greatest victories and your deepest defeats begin in the same place, your mind. Every thought you take captive, every seed you plant, every word you speak over yourself has power. You were never created to live bound by fear, doubt, or pain. You were created to reign, to walk in authority, to live as a child of the Most High. So now is the time to rise up, to stop circling the mountain of yesterday and start climbing the hill of transformation today. Take back your peace, your purpose, and your focus. Your mind is sacred ground. Therefore, take off the shoes from off your feet in the dwelling place of the set-apart Spirit. Guard it, protect it, fill it with light. Because when your mind is renewed, your life is renewed. No more living under the shadows of past generations. The curse ends with you. No more carrying pain that doesn't belong to you. It ends with you. No more rehearsing the voices that told you you're not enough. That ends with you. You are the one chosen to break the cycle. You are the one called to rebuild the temple within. You are the one entrusted to tend the field of your thoughts and plant truth where lies once grew. And when you align your thoughts with the word of Yahweh, you train your mind to obey the Messiah. You begin to walk not in reaction, but in revelation, not in fear, but in faith. Remember, discipline begins with a single decision. Renewal begins with a single thought. And transformation begins when you say, enough is enough. I choose life. I choose Yahweh. I choose His promises and His Son, Yahshua, the Messiah. So walk boldly, but humbly. Speak truthfully. Think righteously. Live intentionally. And let the world see through you the mind, the love, and the faith of the Messiah, Yahshua. Hallelujah.